Okay, well, that was just sort of a bookkeeping thing here. We have a caller on the line at 892-9200, so we'll go to that caller. And KRFP, you are on the air, and this question will go to Ken DeVries first.
Is this me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mr. DeVries, you have put yourself out there as a constitutional scholar of sorts and somebody who believes strongly in personal rights and not government intrusion. My question for you is, if elected, would you support the repeal of Idaho's ban on gay marriage on constitutional grounds that it infringes upon the rights of many citizens of the state?
Okay, that goes to Ken DeVries first.
No, I would not support that. I think that I'm opposed to gay marriage. There's all kinds of issues with that, including, you know, there's some civil issues with it. Partnership coverage is on insurance. I mean, there's all kinds of issues with that that I don't think we would benefit from as a society. You know, in terms of homosexuality and gay marriage, that's about sums up my feeling on that. So I don't know that I have any further comment on it.
And that was Ken DeVries. And now Shirley Ringo.
I disagree with the constitutional ban on gay marriage or any ban on gay marriage. The set of people that we have, some are straight, some are gay, and I don't understand why we would deny any pursuit of happiness or relationship to people who happen to be gay or desire a same-sex relationship. So it's completely inappropriate in my mind to do that, and if I had any way to change that constitutional ban on gay marriage, I would do it.
Okay, that was Shirley Ringo. The phone number is 892-9200. The next question will go to Shirley Ringo first. We don't have any callers on the line, so I'll go to my list of backup questions. Do you think the practice by the legislature of releasing low revenue projections during the last few years and then receiving revenue in excess of projections is a way of excusing budget cuts to social programs?
Well, I absolutely do not, and it's quite a game that we have been playing by the majority that simply wants to shrink government and limit government services. So it's quite normal as we enter the legislative session that we'll get a lowball revenue projection, and once that's been accepted by the Joint Finance Committee, then that's the number we budget to, and we have an excuse to shrink programs. And I think that's a wrong approach. I don't think it's good for Idaho, and I would like to see that stop and have us be more honest about the process.
And I'll repeat the question for Ken DeVries.
Do you
think the practice by the legislature of releasing low revenue projections during the last few years and then receiving revenue in excess of projections is a way of excusing budget cuts to social programs?
Kind of a trick question, I think. It would seem to me that expecting the worst and then being happy if it worked out is the normal course of action in any conservative business. I think most businesses would operate that way. I'm always for accuracy to the point that we can try and get it, but you know, we can't always be perfectly accurate. As to whether or not they are consciously used to, you know, limit government or whatever, I'm not convinced that that's an actual bit of shenanigans that's going on. I'd have to get there and determine it myself.
Okay, and that was Ken DeVries. The next question will go to Ken DeVries first. We got two callers about at the same time, so we'll test the line, see if you're at KRFP. You are on the air.
Hello, is it this line?
Yes, it is.
Considering the contentious nature of the state rules and industry legislation governing oil and natural gas production in Idaho that the legislature deliberated and passed last session, how should the state best guide development of this emerging resource while protecting the interests of its citizens and other economic sectors?
Okay, that would go to Ken DeVries first.
Okay, I was trying to make a note there to see if I could catch up with it. you know, we're an energy-hungry country, and I believe that we need to explore all the possibilities. There are lots of issues surrounding oil and natural gas exploration, fracking being one of them, and I'll also admit to you right off the bat that I am not an oil man and I am not a geologist, so I don't know every angle that that's involved there. I do believe we need to develop our own domestic energy sources. I do think we should take the environment into consideration in that, but I think that, you know, some extremism on the environmental side and the protection of quote-unquote the environment has seriously hampered our efforts to become energy independent. Oil and natural gas are a fact of life. We consume it. I think we need to face up to that fact, develop our resources, and move forward until we can get alternative energy sources that are efficient.
That was Ken DeVries. We'll now go to Shirley Ringo.
Well, I think I would address this in terms of process, because it is a very important consideration of how we develop or don't develop, and what the responsible thing is to do, what the long-term environmental effects might be depending on how we decide to proceed. I felt in the last legislative session that the chair of the committee happened to have some personal interests in that particular area, which he didn't disclose until the discussions were almost over. And so I think that the hearings were affected by that to some extent, and I think that the outcome was that the public had a little less confidence in the results. So as we proceed into the next session, I would like to have us be more transparent about the interests people have that are involved in the process, and have open discussions about it again.
Okay, that was Shirley Ringo. The next question will go to Shirley first, and we'll go to the caller who's been waiting through a full question. KRFP, you're on the air.
Hello. I suppose this question is more for Mr. DeVries. Due to the recent, news over the past year or so about the University of Idaho more or less losing its flagship status, or its status as the state's flagship university, and the efforts of some of the schools in the southern part of the state trying to move our law school down there. Is Mr. DeVries in favor of keeping our law school here, or is he in favor of moving it to some of the larger institutions to the south?
Okay, and that'll go to Shirley Ringo first.
Oh, well, I would like to comment on that since I have the first answer here. I feel fiercely protective of the University of Idaho in my role as a legislator, and it is becoming increasingly challenging. With respect to the law school, however, I never would condone moving our law school out of Moscow. I think that's very important to us. But I do think it's important that we have a presence in Boise, and that we have certain offerings there to satisfy the need, as our land grant mission is, really, in my opinion. And there is a private law school that is getting started there, you know, we will have that competition, and I'm afraid that we'll lose out if we don't have some presence and some offerings of courses in the Boise area. But the law school stays here.
And that was Shirley Ringo. Now Ken DeVries.
Oh, I think maybe Shirley and I have something we can probably agree on here. I'll confess not to being an expert on all the intricacies that go on, you know, at this point between the various universities and the arguing over whether this department stays here or goes down there. I think what Shirley said in that case makes some sense. That being said, I would have a preference for keeping the law school here. You know, the U of I, you know, employs, what, 60% or so of the local population. It's always good to have those jobs here. And so I think I would agree with Shirley on this one. I think we should keep it here.
And that was Ken DeVries. You're tuned to KRFP Moscow. We have one caller on the line, so we'll get to that person. And we'll probably go till about 7:25 with the questions, and after that we'll move to closing statements. So, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Is this me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. My question is, in the last legislative session, the legislature actually turned down federal money for Medicaid. And as a result of that, people who were on Medicaid simply lost services that they had depended on. And some of them, they were life-threatening issues. I would like to know if that event happens again, which I would expect it might, how would each one of the candidates vote in terms of refusing or accepting federal money for Medicaid services?
Okay,
and that goes to Ken DeVries first.
Well, I'm going to be flat out honest with you. In general, I am opposed to accepting federal funds. I think we should develop Idaho's natural resources and take care of ourselves. We should become economically independent. I've got some thoughts on that, which I'm not going to be able to cover in a minute. Federal money always comes with federal strings, and the costs of that are usually quite high. In terms of helping folks out, right now we are stuck with a Medicaid system. I do not want to turn people out on the street, but you know, it used to be that charity and those things were done by private institutions and private individuals, and I would like to see us return to more of a privatized charitable institution.
That was Ken DeVries. Now we'll go to Shirley Ringo.
Well, I regret turning down support for people who really need it, and I've seen some of the consequences when people are unable to get other than emergency care for dental work, for vision, for auditory assistance, and so on. And so I think that that was a terrible decision to make. I don't have real confidence that that's something that we appropriately should cover in the private sector where people are trying to make a profit. Certainly people who can't afford insurance should have it, and we should try to help people be able to do that. But there are those that don't and that need the help, and I think that we have a reasonable partnership that can be improved upon, but it's an important partnership between the federal and state government to see that that's covered.
And that was Shirley Ringo, and we have another caller on the line for Shirley Ringo and Ken DeVries. So, caller, you are on the air.
Yeah, the question is, it has to do with freedom, and Ken seems to profess himself as kind of a historian of sorts, and if we remember well, actually the Pledge of Allegiance was changed back in the Red Scare to insert one nation under God. How do you feel about that one nation under God and its relationship to the Constitution and issues of separation of church and state? Do you feel that our children should have to say that they believe in one nation under God with their Pledge of Allegiance in the morning in school? Or I guess that's my question. Do you really think that something inserted during the Red Scare is still prevalent and needed today? Or do you feel that was a problem with separation of church and state?
Okay, and we'll stick with format and go to Shirley Ringo first on that.
I am a very strong proponent of separation of church and state, and I believe that that's something that protects the religious freedoms that many people enjoy today. I grew up as a young girl without the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I remember when those words were added, and frankly, I don't consider it appropriate. I think that even though it may not seem like a huge issue to some people, I would really take every measure to protect that difference or that separation of church and state.
That was Shirley Ringo. Now we'll go to Ken DeVries.
Well, here's an answer that's probably going to rile people on both sides of the issue. The Pledge of Allegiance was originally written by a guy named Francis Bellamy, who was a socialist, by the way, and wanted people to pledge allegiance to a federal government. I think that our founders if they had thought that we would be raising people pledging allegiance to a national government, would probably not be all that happy with us. On the other hand, the under God phrase for me, and now keep in mind you are talking to a person who is a Christian, is meaningful to me. If someone does not want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, that's their issue. I can't say that. And by the way, separation of church and state is nowhere to be found in the Constitution. That was written in a letter to the Danbury Baptists by Thomas Jefferson to encourage his congregation to support the new Constitution, promising that the federal government would not interfere in the exercise of religion. So separation of church and state has been taken way out of context.
Okay, and that was Ken DeVries. The phone number at the station is 892-9200. That's 892-9200. We only have a few minutes in left for callers to ask questions of our two candidates for Idaho House Seat 5B, Ken DeVries and Shirley Ringo. And the next question will go to Ken DeVries first. So, KRFP, you are on the air.
It's my understanding that in the Students Come First initiative that teachers' merit pay will be based on the performance of their students on standardized tests. And I'd like to know what each of the candidates' views are on this and whether you think that's a fair measure to base that on.
Okay, we'll go to Ken DeVries first.
Obviously, any measure of performance is going to have some testing of some sort to go along with it. And whether that's, a standardized student achievement test or not, there's probably a zillion ways to measure it. I do know that under Students Come First, the evaluations do not go down to the teacher. The performance does not go down to the teacher level, if I remember correctly. It's based on per school, and they're looking for growth in the student performance. A standardized test is one way to do it. If somebody were to come up with what I consider to be a statistically better method for achieving it, I'd be all ears.
Okay, and that was Ken DeVries. We'll now go to Shirley Ringo.
Well, those portions of the student comes first. There is a measure that would actually measure excellence on the tests, and then another that looks at growth. I have regretted taking that direction from the time that the No Child Left Behind Act started such a heavy reliance on standardized tests. Because I think that it takes the creativity and the latitude out of teaching, and it really restricts everybody to have a reason to teach right to a test that the student might be given, and rewards people just based on how students achieve on that. To me, teaching is much more of an art than that. If you can instill a curiosity in a child, a willingness to learn, a desire to learn, there are a lot of things that can't be measured on paper with paper and pencil testing that are absolutely critical to education.
Okay, your minute's up. Okay, and we probably have only time for one more question. If somebody wants to call real quick, the phone number is 892-9200. The candidates are Shirley Ringo of Moscow, Ken DeVries of St. Mary's, or just outside St. Mary's, and they're running for District 5, House Seat 5B, which the district covers Latah and Benoit counties. Seeing as we don't have a last phone call, I'll ask this question from my list, and then we'll go to closing statements. This will go to Shirley Ringo first. There was a constitutional amendment proposed in the legislature requiring 2/3 vote of the legislature for new taxes or fees, increasing any tax or fee, or removing or reducing any tax break. And that was favored by the House 37-33 this year. But, of course, because it was a constitutional amendment, it itself requires 2/3 of the legislature to pass, so it did not move forward. Would you support something like that?
I did not support it, and I would not support it. I really think that it's a mistake to have a system where if we needed to raise revenue in some way, that we have to get two yes votes for every no in the legislature. I just think that that's excessive. It's something that has been put in place by those individuals who would like to, I think, restrict taxes and restrict what they would perceive to be any growth in government. And I'm glad that it required a two-thirds to pass, because that's the only thing that stopped it.
And that was Shirley Ringo. Now Ken DeVries.
Well, here's an answer that will surprise you all.
Yes, I would support it.
Okay. Do you have more to say there?
I believe in fiscal responsibility. I believe government needs to spend only what is required. And if you have a, if you are requiring a two-thirds majority, it better be pretty darn important.
Okay. Well, that was Ken DeVries, and that wraps up the Q&A section of the candidates forum between Democratic incumbent Shirley Ringo and Republican challenger Ken DeVries, position 5B in the legislature. We're now going to go to closing statements, and Ken DeVries has elected to be the first to give. Is that correct?
I don't remember.
Okay. We had Shirley Ringo go first before, so Ken DeVries goes first for closing statements, and so we have 2 minutes for that.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for calling in and listening, you know, for being behind enemy lines. It really wasn't all that bad. I don't feel too shot up. Obviously, tonight you've heard from two different people who have quite opposing points of view. I've never professed to be a constitutional scholar, so it was kind of surprising to get that label on me. I have read the Constitution. I do understand it. I've read a lot of the contemporary documents our founding fathers had written. You can call me a constitutionalist if you'd like. It is the supreme law of the land, and I believe it should be upheld. I believe in the original intent of the founding fathers, which meant limited government, a certain type of tax structure, and individual liberty, and that's what I'm all about. It's an interesting world we live in these days. Our federal government is running up trillions of dollars in debt. We have $114.5 trillion in unfunded liabilities that, in my view, will probably never, ever get paid off. Entitlements, runaway taxation in some cases, whole states, whole cities going bankrupt. Idaho, fortunately, is a fiscally sound state. I'd like to see us stay that way. The only way we stay that way is by being fiscally conservative and intelligent in what we do. We tax when necessary and only when necessary and only for those things that are called for as a proper role of government and that those issues are constitutional. So if you value individual liberty, if you value having a strong economy, I'm your man. Please support me on November 6th.
And that was Ken DeVries, and now we'll allow 2 minutes for a closing statement from Shirley Ringo.
Thank you. And this is a race for state representatives, so I'm going to limit myself to state issues. If we want to have a strong economy, there are certain things that we have to be able to provide, I think. We have to provide a good education. We have to provide for a healthy population. We have to provide an infrastructure that is safe and functional. And there is a cost associated with all of those things. And frankly, I think our tendency so far has been to underfund and not assume the responsibility of providing for those things as strongly as we should. And I think it's very telling that one of the differences between Mr. DeVries and myself involves collecting revenue. And when we have this ideology that we would like to abolish the property tax and the income tax, we're really hamstringing ourselves relative to getting the revenue to performing our governmental responsibilities. I just don't see how we can possibly argue that that's a responsible thing to do. And I think it's the kind of ideology that has caused gridlock back in Washington, D.C. In Idaho, we're required to have a balanced budget, and we do have it, but that has to involve a reasonable revenue stream along with fiscal responsibility in our spending.
Okay, that was Shirley Ringo's closing statement, and we'll just wrap up here by saying that the candidates for District 5, House Seat B, are Democrat Shirley Ringo and Republican Ken DeVries. All three District 5 legislative seats are contested this year. And besides the 5B candidates, we have incumbent Democrat Dan Schmidt of Moscow facing Republican Gresham Bauma of Troy for the District 5 Senate seat. And we also have a District 5 House race, another one, Republican Cindy Agidius of Moscow facing Democrat Paulette Jordan of Plummer. Neither of those candidates have served in the legislature before. We're hoping to get all of them into the studios for a call-in candidates forum. They certainly are informative for listeners, and we've been trying to contact them and get return phone calls from all of them to see if we can do that. We do have one scheduled for the Latah County Sheriff's candidates for Tuesday, October 30th. That's a Republican incumbent Wayne Roush, and Keith Wilson, who is the Democratic challenger in that race. Also, next Tuesday night, we have scheduled a candidates forum with commission candidate Stephen Cook, a Democrat. His challenger, or excuse me, his opponent, Republican Richard Walzer, has decided not to participate in the candidates forums. To both their credit, they have done interviews on the KRFP News, and you can find those interviews on the Radio Free Moscow website. So Stephen Cook will be allowed a half hour to answer questions from callers next Tuesday night, 6:30 to 7 p.m. And don't forget the sheriff's candidates on October 30th, which is also a Tuesday night. The election this year, Tuesday, November 6th, polls open in Idaho from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. In Idaho, you can register to vote at the polls on Election Day. If you are not already registered, bring proof that you have lived at your current address for at least 30 days. A power or landline phone bill might be two possibilities there. In Moscow, the polling places are the Southwest Concourse of the ASUI Kibbe Dome if you live west of Main Street, and the 4-H building of the Latah County Fairgrounds if you live east of Main Street. The fairgrounds are located across White Avenue from Safeway on the east side of town, and in-person absentee voting is going on at the courthouse from now during normal business hours until Friday, November 2nd at 5 p.m. There's also mail-in absentee ballots. Requests for those or applications for those must be received by the county clerk by Wednesday, October 31st, and then the ballots must be back by the clerk's office in the clerk's office by Tuesday, November 6th at 5 p.m. So stay tuned to KRFP for more election info and candidates forums. This is KRFP Moscow, and we'll return to our normal programming in just a moment.